are back. Welcome to the Vixens Vault. It is Sunday, August the 23rd, 2015. I am your hostess for the evening, the Wiccan Vixen. I'd like to welcome you guys to my show tonight. And as you may have known, last week we did a show on, you know, kind of going along the lines of conspiracy end of the spectrum. But tonight I'm going to bring it back and roll it back to the paranormal field I know and love very, very well, and a field I've been in for a very, very, very long time. As I was telling somebody today, I think I have paranormal ADHD. It happens to those of us who are usually over a decade in the field, and I'm 2 decades. So basically what occurs is you've been in it for so long, you've seen so much of the same shit over and over and over again, and the same missteps and the same teams making the same unfortunate mistakes. You literally, everybody's voices kind of combine, and that's all you hear is wah, 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 wah. And it's really kind of discouraging because this is a field we all know and love. But there's a team kind of close to me, and the founder of the team, the actual founder, I have known for, again, many, many years. You'll find that a lot of my guests on the show, especially when it comes to the paranormal, I've known them usually a long time. Like I said, I've been in the field 20 plus years, so I have quite a few contacts. But this team recently came to me with stuff, I got to tell you, it blew my socks off, which does not happen. It really does not. I'm a person that I like to say I've got a little bit of wisdom in this field. I've got a little bit of tenure in this field. I know when my leg's being yanked. I know when I'm being bullshitted. I know when I'm dealing with a client that is just too hysterical. I know when it's psychological. And I can tell you when it's environmental generally. Very rarely do I have situations where I am completely and totally stumped by what I'm looking at and what I'm hearing. Like I said, it's complicated for me to go into, for me to give you the full background, because there's so much training involved in the paranormal. It's not just a matter of you walk in with a recorder and a camera and whoo, you're an investigator. That's not what happens. I mean, you've got to learn about audio. You've got to learn about the different hertz and where audio is supposed to come in at, and what you're looking for when you're going through audio evidence, what you're looking for in video evidence. How can that be fake? I mean, there's so many things, not to mention the environmental and geological things that you have to have knowledge of. So my guests tonight, are they going to be the people that brought me this evidence? And as I said, I've known them for many years. Their honesty is impeccable. They cannot be doubted. I would never doubt them anyway. But, and these guys are skeptics, which is what I love about this team. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on Jason Porter and Matt Owens from Carolina Paranormal. This is a TAPS family team, and while that does carry some weight, it doesn't carry all the way, and that's what I love about these guys. These guys make their own way, and they do their own thing, and it's amazing to me, you know, what they've accomplished. But I'm going to bring them in now, so because we only have the hour, and we have a lot to talk about. So Jason and Matt, are you on the line with me?
Yes, I am.
Yes, we are.
I was going to say, did you unmute real quick? Wait, unmute. All right, guys, welcome to the vault. And as I was saying, I mean, Jason, I've had you on before. I think I've actually had you on with Matt before I went on my hiatus. I think I've actually had your team on. But since the last time we've talked, you guys have just come miles. I mean, not even miles. We're universes ahead of where you were at the last time we spoke, as far as the evidentiary findings, and I'm going to call it that, which is, you know, take a picture, it'll last longer, because I don't say that ever in this field, because it's, for me, it's very hard to define what we would call quote unquote evidence, since we don't have a definition for what we're really looking for. To say we've got evidence is kind of final to me, and it's kind of, but the things that I know you guys have come up with is just, it's unbelievable. But I kind of want to take it back to the beginning. I want you to take me back to the beginning of Carolina Paranormal, how you guys met, and how you guys morphed into what is going on now. And then I want to go into some detail about what's going on now. So I'm going to hand my mic over to you guys. Have at it.
All right. Well, Carolina Paranormal started out, as you know, Nancy, I was living in Maine and had a team in Maine. And back in 2008, my job situation changed where I had to transfer or have no job. So decided to move to Charlotte, North Carolina. I came down here, looked at the various teams around, and be perfectly honest, the teams in the area, I didn't like. I didn't like the way they did things, their methodologies. They just in my opinion. So I said, well, I did it once in Maine, I'll do it again. So I put together a kind of a crappy website and started taking applications and, you know, and started and basically formed a team. And Matt was one of my first people that we brought on. It's kind of funny. I still make fun of him to this day about the way he applied. He actually sent me his full resume.
No, he didn't.
I still have it. Oh, yeah. His professional resume. Oh, yeah.
That has to be like a mile and a half long. I know Matt pretty well. Oh, that's going to be a pretty...
It was pretty thick. Yeah, it was pretty thick. But it was just, I looked at it and I said, I first said, what the hell is this guy doing? What did he think? This is a paying gig or something?
We're used to the yokels. I'm sorry, folks, yeah. I'm not trying to be offensive, but we're used to, like, pretty much, you know, either people who think they're Indiana Jones or, you know, people who talk to walls with a coffee cup in their hand. That's kind right. of the or, normal or, flow.
Or the one lady that I brought on that I thought she was cool, you know, she was a published author. She seemed like a nice old lady until she started telling us that she had sex with an alien, gave birth to an alien baby, and is now on a different planet, different dimension.
And now you know what we contend with. This we're going to call this founder power right now, because now you know what happens when we're – I mean, folks, again, you know, I'm just going to say really quickly, when you send an application to a team, if it takes a while for them to get back to you, there's a reason for that. It's normally because – 99.9% of the applications we get, you're wanting to actually post on Facebook because they're so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it's oh, yeah. like, oh my God, really? Did somebody really put that on an application?
Yeah. They tell you their stupid story or, you know, their story of their experience that, you know, wasn't true. Or, I mean, especially the alien baby thing, holy shit.
The only right. thing I want to interject there is I knew I was the shit, and I just wanted Jason to know it too.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so moving past the alien babies, because, you know, we hear about that all the time. It's a paranormal radio show, man. I got to tell you, man, just screening my guests a lot of times, I try to keep to the legit people, because – after a half an hour of learning how they were inseminated, you're kind of like, especially this late at night, you have nightmares. I'm just saying. That shit imprints on you.
Oh, my God. Alien penis. Here we go. Anyway. But anyway, after, you know, starting Carolina Paranormal and bringing Matt on and bringing on a bunch of people, we stuck with pretty much residential cases with a few historical locations thrown in. We've done a museum and, you know, a few things like that, but pretty much, you know, 95% of it was just residential stuff. The stuff, as you and I had talked about earlier today, the stuff that you just get tired of. Yeah, the stuff that you can walk in. I mean, we've walked in and debunked stuff in a matter of 5 minutes. You know, we spent 2 hours at a place showing a woman how the floorboards in her hallway were making a sound like someone was running up and down, and that basically her kid was having sex in the spare bedroom on the bed, and the floorboard was the bed frame was on one side of the floorboard, and it was making it move in the hallway, so it made a running sound like someone ran up and down the hallway.
Basically, yeah. You busted a teenager. That was not cool.
Yeah, well, they weren't teenagers. They were like, you know, early 20s, but they'd come over and spend the night or whatever. But she was just embarrassed as all hell because, you know, mother at that age, still, you know, some of them still are embarrassed by that.
I think I would be embarrassed by that if I had a team of think about that. If I had a team of investigators in my house and my kid turned 21 today. Happy birthday, honey. You know, and my kid was, yeah, and that, no, I'd be like, oh my God, really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that's the type of stuff that we've had for pretty much the full time that we've been in existence, pretty much residential cases with the few special stuff thrown in. Excuse me. But recently, things have been getting, last 2 years, things have been getting How would you describe it, Matt?
Well, you know, I think the best way to describe it is that in the last 2 to 3 years, we've just all of a sudden started having a much higher success rate. I think anybody that's in the field that's done this a long time knows that, you know, only about 5%, and that's being very liberal with the percentage of the time you actually get any type of activity on an investigation. And it just, it seems like in the last several years, Jason and I being together and investigating some of the locations we have, it's just exploded on us. We've gotten activity in quite a few different places and significant activity at that.
Well, let me ask you about that. I mean, to lead that into that, did you change a methodology? I mean, and this is coming from another person who founded a team, ran a team, yep, got the whole team, I'm done, I'm never doing residentials again, kick me in the head before I ever do. Did you change up methodologies? Because Jason, again, I've known you, I mean, I've known Matt several years now, but I've known you a very long time. And I got to tell you, there is no bigger asshole in the paranormal than you when it comes to being a skeptic. And I say that with much love and much, much respect. Because you need to have assholes in the field. You really do. You have to have that person who's willing to be very upfront, very honest, and, you know, kind of kick aside the fact that you think that speck of dust is your grandfather and say, listen, that's not your grandfather. That's dust. And you're inhaling it and you're probably going to die. I mean, for you to come forward, and like I said, you came to me 2 years ago because of a case that you were working, and you were like, you're not going to believe this shit. And for you to say that, I think I said it to you at the time, but you're the, what I call you, the icicle. I mean, you're Jason. You're the one that
I've been known as the paranormal cooler for a long time because, I mean, we've literally been in locations where nothing's happening, and I have left the building. I mean, we've got audio and video of this happening, of me leaving the building, and then activity picks up.
Yep. Like you walked out of the room. Yep.
When I went, literally, you can hear the door close as I walked out of the building, and then activity immediately started as soon as I left.
So what changed? I mean, something had to have changed. That's what I'm saying. What clicked into place? Was it you? Was it, did you guys have a building where there was a certain attachment that you felt an attachment or a connection to? I mean, I'm trying to think of where the wires got, you know, kind of twisted together to where it made some kind of symbiotic relationship here, because that's what apparently has happened.
Would you say, Matt, so probably the Carolina Theater would be the place?
Yeah, that's where I was going. You know, a couple of years ago, we got contacted to come do a quick media event at Halloween for a local news station. Wanted to film a couple quick things for their 11 o'clock news, and they asked us to come to the Carolina Theater to do that. And you know, in all honesty, we've done those type of media things before. We felt like it was going to be in and out. We'd be there for an hour or two, and we'd be done. And they asked us, you know, if we wanted to investigate a little bit to kind of show them how it was done. And that was really where a lot of it started. We set out equipment. We took the right approach to start investigating. And then, bam, all of a sudden, we started getting the significant activity there.
Well, wait a minute. Back up, because you gotta think. We're talking to people. Some might be, you know, some might be tenured. Some might be novice. I mean, explain correct, because this is this is the battlefield of the paranormal. Correct by whose definition? What you did basically is you're saying you went ahead and you set up the basic equipment. You set up your recorders. You set up your, you know, your highs, your lows, your audio, your video. You set up your sound sensitive equipment. But what else do you guys use during your setup?
Well, during that investigation, you know, like you just went through, we set up our DVRs, all of our IR cameras. You know, we had audio all over the building. But, you know, primarily we've been using and getting activity with several different devices, which include the REM pod, which is a relatively new device. It's an EMF device and a proximity device at that. We also, you know, use the K2 to help corroborate that EMF. We have our mail meter. We have a temp pod. We have an E-pod. We have, you know, just several different different things that we use that actually sense different types of things. I mean, you know, your temp pod is your ambient air temperature. You know, we still use the old flashlight trick to see if we can get physical contact. You know, the REM pod and the K2s and those things are your EMFs. So there's different types of meters that we use in conjunction with each other. When we start getting activity, we don't limit that activity to just one set of devices. We'll actually ask for manipulation of different types of devices. You know, light up our REM pod to this color, or light up the K2 to this color, you know, for specific things. Or we'll ask for temperature changes and use the temp pod or the mail meter with the ambient temperature probe to look at what the temperature variations are. And we'll get, in these instances, we have gotten on command the types of variations that we ask for with these different pieces of equipment.
And we're not using just one of those pieces of equipment. We're putting, you know, we're using a REM pod, and we're using two of them. We put, you know, at the Matthews Community Center there, we had it up on a stage, and we had it on either end of the stage, and it would, you know, light up whichever one we asked her to light up. And then we moved them side by side, literally, you know, within 2 inches of each other, and only one of them would go off, whichever one we would ask her to light up. So literally on command, we were getting, like Matt said, getting that piece of equipment to light up on command with no deviation or variation. I mean, it just, whatever we asked for, it would happen. And
well, and I was going to say,
in
when
that
you're...
case, in that yeah. case too, you know, Matt owns one of the REM pods, and one of the REM pods is owned by one of the other members, Jennifer. So it's not even owned by the same person. So, you know, we're going to have skeptics say, oh, they're rigged. Well, they're owned by different people. You know, they're not rigged by any means.
Well, and the question is, too, when you're doing this, what are you – I mean, people are talking in the chat. I'm watching the chat as it scrolls, and, you know, you always have the, God, please don't tell me you're using an iPhone app or an Android app. And, no, I've been with these guys before. They
no.
don't – yeah, no. They don't
no.
go – in that, no. However, you do, and I think in that case, that's when I remember you starting to really kind of dig in when it came to questioning and how you were wording your questions. And, you know,
yeah.
you've really kind of come up with an interesting way of digging deeper to see if it can be validated, because that's, people forget that with EVPs. I think everybody kind of goes out there like a Yahoo and just ask questions. And if they get a burp or a belch or a fart or even a shoe scuffle that sounds like help, you know, they're like, ooh, I got it. But the real
right.
reason for an EVP is to try to utilize whatever response you're getting is some kind of a basic pathway to evidence. In other words, a way to validate that you're actually conversing or communicating with something that is valid to that location.
Right. Well,
you make a very valid point there, and I think where we've had that was the Matthews Community Center that comes to mind first, in which we had numerous EVPs that we captured there. EVPs are very rare to capture anyways, and we had several, but namely, we had a name that we captured as an EVP, which coincidentally was also, you know, we established through questioning with our equipment that the name started with a J, and then we actually, upon reviewing the evidence after the investigation was over, captured an EVP on several devices of the name Jerry. And through further research, came to find that we were able to get a backstory, something that was actually tangible and real, that there was a real person in that location that went by that name. And so
and
it kind of brought
a,
it all.
There's a photo of
it. Well, I was just going to say, what makes this kind of interesting, folks, and because you can say, oh, well, Jerry, I mean, how old was the building? How many Jerrys could have been there? But this is what makes this very interesting, is that Jerry was not a male. Jerry
right.
was a female.
And it was actually the not only was Jerry It's not Jerry, as J-E-R-R-Y.
Right.
The spelling of this was unique. It was J-A-R-I-E. And we found this out because we found a photo in one of the display cases. And it was an article from 1983 in a newspaper mentioning a high school reunion of the basketball team. And someone on the original photo had written the name on either over the person or on the person. And on this girl's forearm, left forearm, was written the name Jerry, J-A-R-I-E. We not only did we get EVP, but we also went back and confirmed with her that it was her. And this exact spelling.
Well, not only that, but during our questioning, the time frames that we asked and different things all lined up with the research that we found after the investigation. So
exactly.
We knew what we had was validated.
Right. And I know that because I was actually helping you guys research that building. I was I was involved in trying to background some of the information she gave you. Because that's my thing. I mean, people say, what the hell does she do? Let me tell you, when it comes to research, there's not too much that can hold me back. I will toss every stone over. I will find what I'm looking for eventually. And I found that case, like I said, I was intrigued by it. In fact, I still question you guys every time I see you because I get to see you once a year. And I always say, what's going on with Matthews? Anything going on with Matthews? And I think I said to you, Jason, that she liked you, that what was there really liked you. It was kind of interesting because, again, it's like each case, you have the folks, they also have a case that they're working on at a gold mine in North Carolina that's actually really comical. And here's the thing, if you guys, if you're sensitive, if you have children listening, cover their ears for a moment, because they actually have a minor there that loves to goose women, loves to get a nice cop a feel, we'll put it that way. But it's usually with the females. So basically, they kind of volunteer their females on the team. Here you go. In you go. Have a good time. We're going to take pictures and record it. It's kind of like their own form of porno in the paranormal. But
yeah, we literally have paranormal porn.
And, of course, these women are all aware of why they're there. This is not a discrimination issue. This is
right.
More
they
of a,
know. They
okay.
know. They know going into it. They volunteer. So.
But you guys actually had a situation with a reporter from a local news outlet at that location.
God, that was hilarious. Yeah, we were doing some filming there. She just wanted to, they wanted to run a story on us. And she had just got done filming. And I said to her, I said, why don't you get down the stairs? Because there's like a dozen steps that you have to go down. And you're in kind of the entrance of the gold mine, but it's a very small area. Smaller than your typical bathroom. Three people is tight down in there. But anyway, so she went down in there, and it was the first time I had ever seen somebody come running up out of the stairs, and I've never seen a black person turn white until her. She came running up out of that stair, and she was white, and I think it goosed her. it had to have done something because she was down there for all of 20 seconds and she literally ran up those stairs.
Well, and what I'm kind of getting to, and because we're rolling into the 5-minute marker until I got to go into my break. But what I want to do is kind of prelude for when we come back from the break, because what I want to get into when we get back is basically, so how do we know they're goosing? How do we know that's their personality? Do people maintain their personality when they cross over? What exactly do they perceive themselves as? And that was, again, these are interesting lines of questioning that a lot of investigators, number one, don't even consider when they're on a case because they're so busy trying to run back and forth and maintain their equipment or maintain their team that they're not really thinking about the type of questions they're asking. Do you know you're dead? Well, yeah. Pretty sure they do, especially if they're responding.
Right.
Literally, not only that, but we tend to be too wrapped up in jargon when we're on a case. We tend to literally forget the fact that this is time dated. When you're dealing with a location or a locale that is, you know, 100, 150 years old, saying, can you go to the malmeter and cause it, you know, make it go off? Yeah, they're going to, what? I mean, half the people now have no clue what a malmeter is. If I looked at my mother and said, hey, mom, can you go grab me the malmeter? She'd be like, that's disgusting. No.
Right. Well, and that's one of the things you have to do is you literally have to point out each piece of equipment and describe what it is, what it does, and what its name is.
Well, and it brings greater questions because here's the thing. You're also dealing with some of these, and I don't know if you've tracked into this or not, but with some of them, I think, you know, are you dealing with a religious reaction? Because even when they cross or when they die, I don't believe a lot of what we were personality-wise goes away. I think some of it sticks, and I was saying that to somebody once because somebody said, you know, why do you think, you know, when you're on a case, things tend to start to really get active? And I was like, well, 90% of the time because I don't care. I'm not there to scare them away. I'm not there to bring them out. I'm just there.
Right.
If they want to talk, whatever, it is what it is. I said, but, you know, I find if I pull out, because I am not Christian, I'm a witch, and I do wear a Wiccan wheel. I wear the witch's wheel. And I said, when I pull that out, it's really interesting because things either go one way or the other. It either gets where you have a lot of activity or it stops completely.
Right.
And it always made me wonder, is it got to do with a recognition or a fear or a, you know, a basic, what is that that's not a cross?
Well, I mean, the thing of it is I actually think, and I think Matt would agree with me, I actually think religion plays no part in what happens. I don't think they have any fear of religion once they die, just because of the line of questioning that we've had answered in multiple locations. And Matt and I think one of the reasons that we're having the success that we're having is the fact that both Matt and I are agnostic, and we do not bring religion into it at all. We are literally there trying to just communicate. And you can almost tell from the answers and how fast we're getting them and how repetitive we're getting them that the excitement that they're finally able to talk to somebody. A lot of teams, I think, make the mistake and either bring the religion into it or they don't. They're trying to ask the questions that they don't want to. They want to talk to somebody. They don't care about, you know, what happened, you know, what happened to them, or, you know, the do you know you're dead question. They want to talk to somebody. So they're excited. And once you get that baseline that they are actually there, which sometimes takes an hour to do until they figure out how to use the equipment. And once you've taught them how to use the equipment, once they figure it out, it's like a chatterbox. It won't stop.
Right. And that's the thing. And like I said, the first half of the show is kind of me kind of letting these guys tell you what they're about, what they do, kind of some of their cases. But the second half, we're going to get into some really serious detail about what occurred. I'm not going to tell the location of where you guys are at. You guys are welcome to do that. If you want to, we are in the chat right now. Folks who are listening, you can join the Intrepid radio chat if you like, the IPBN radio chat. The link is http://ipbn-fm.com/listen-chat.html. If you guys want to, you're more than welcome to post links. You can post whatever you want in that chat for people to try to pull in or get an idea for what you're talking about, or you don't have to. We can just discuss this the way we are. And folks, you got to understand why I'm saying that, because some of the evidence that these guys have come up with, if I was sitting on it, yeah, I would have a very hard time posting it, especially if I didn't know the company I was in, because these guys, like I said, what they caught blew my socks off. I mean, I had to rewatch it. I can't tell you how many times just to try to get a grasp on what I was seeing. Because I have never seen anything like that.
We didn't even tell you what was there. You figured it out real quickly.
Oh, my God. There was no reason to tell me. And let me tell you, some of the quirks that make this really interesting, and I hate to do this, I'm not trying to like smack people who watch the ghost hunting shows, but the expectation of what you want to see on a thermal camera or a thermal imager, you know, the way they play it off of the shows, they always play it one way. You're seeing, oh, look, you can't miss it. It's purple. That's not necessarily the way it occurs. In fact, most of us who have had experience with thermal understand that a lot of times when you're seeing an image, it's cooler than the rest of the area, not hotter. But with that, I have got to take us out to break. We are on the 8:30 marker. Be out to break for 2 minutes. Folks, do not go anywhere. Hang in there. We will come back and we're going to continue this conversation because it's about to get intense. Hang in there.
Are you looking for a really awesome and amazing graphic designer? How about an illustrator or a photographer? This is Rainey Roberts, and I wanted to tell you how you can get my designer, illustrator husband, Scotty Roberts, to work for you on your project. Do you have an awesome self-published book but no cover, or even worse, a cover that really sucks? Do you need a kick-ass logo for your company or some f***ing awesome graphic designs for your ads or website? Then get in touch with my husband for the best f***ing awesome kick-ass design and illustration. He knows his stuff, and he's been at this for more years than I've been alive. Go to scottallenroberts.com. That's Scott with two T's, ALANROBERTS.com to take a look at his online portfolio of work, or call 651-468-8115. Now go out and kick some ass with some kick-ass graphic design.
Hire my dad, so he can take me to Disneyland.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, in math, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. Trash. In the gym, in biology, I learned that I'm pathetic and I'm fat and a joke. And stupid. In history, today in I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends.
In biology,
in English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid.
In English,
and in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The
only thing I didn't learn
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
And it is 8:32 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'd like to welcome you all back to the Vixen's Vault. My guests this evening are Matt Owens and Jason Porter from Carolina Paranormal. And we've been kind of catching up, kind of doing the little friendly bumpy dump up to this point, but you know, now it's time to kind of settle down and get a little bit serious because they got some stuff, and I was talking to them on the break and making sure that they were okay, you know, to post this or to have me give out the information or them give out the information as to, you know, where this was, because, you know, one of the problems is you don't want that area to get flooded. Not only that, you know, you want to make sure that the find is your find. And I hate to say that because I know I hear paranormal unity all the time. Well, yeah, paranormal unity works when you're not stealing other people's shit, which is what tends to happen when there's paranormal unity. People tend to claim work that's not their own because they're all sharing it. Isn't that beautiful? Humanity is such a wonderful thing. Okay, no, Jay, Matt, shut up. Shut up, Jay. What a great show hostess I am.
Have you read our article about paranormal unity and how much bullshit that is?
Oh, dude, I'm not, you know, I tried. I gave it my best go a couple of years back. I tried to be the old team player and... Let me tell you, I saw how many teams get their shit robbed from underneath them.
I am not going to sit back. I am not going to sit back and say, oh, that's an awesome orb when it's friggin' dust. Or, you know, oh, that's paranormal. No, it's not. It's, you know, it's the wind. It's dust. It's a bug. It's moisture. Whatever. I'm not going to sit there and, you know, be nice to somebody because, you know, you're showing me a picture of a hair. No. No, I'm going to tell you what it is. If you don't like what I'm telling you, pound sand.
Yep. And like I said, it sounds horrible. I mean, it sounds so, and again, folks, we're not trying to come off as mean or rude, but you know, there are those of us in the field who do take what we do seriously. and we do try to, we're on a quest for answers. And, you know, I said this to somebody once, it would be wonderful for me to say that I'm out for this for everybody else so they can have peace when they die. No, that's bullshit. I want answers. I'm a curious bitch. I really am. And there's not a lot that stops me. I know. I really, there's not much that stops me when I get a scent. And this is a field I've had a scent for over 20 years. And I don't feel that coddling somebody through something or making somebody believe something that's not happening, it's not good for their psychology, number one. It's not good for your psychology. So no. It doesn't work in this field, especially if you're looking for evidence. Now, the case that you guys worked that we're going to go into here, this is a location, Jay, you and I have spent lots of time there. In fact, there's most likely a security cam footage of you outside the Castillo de San Marcos. Yeah, very interesting, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning run by. But the fact is that this location is very active. Most of us who are in the southeastern region of the continental United States have visited at least once. You guys were actually on your way back from meeting with me. We had just hung out and partied. In fact, we were Brandon and Glenn, Lloyd, you know, we were all hanging out. They're all in the chat right now. So hey guys. Yeah, they know us. You guys decided you were going to drop off because you had a week in between getting back. And you asked me, well, what do you think we should do? And I was like, I'd haul to St. Augustine, man. That's where my ass would be because it's right on the way back. And I'm going to shut the hell up. I'm going to actually turn my mic off. And you guys are going to have at it and share whatever information you want, like I said.
All right. Well, as you said, Matt and I decided we were going to take a ride back from Sebring and spend some time in Florida just hanging out or whatever. So we decided to go to St. Augustine. You know, we wanted to kind of hang out there and see what kind of trouble we could get into as far as, you know, having a few drinks or whatever. And we decided we wanted to go on a ghost tour to see what they did. And Matt and I are actually starting a ghost tour company here in Charlotte. And we wanted to see what they did and what not to do. So we went on a ghost tour, and they called it a class one?
Yeah, it was a class one paranormal investigation tour.
Yeah, and it was, 3 hours long? And we were going to go to four locations? Or 2 hours long?
Yeah, 2 hours long. I don't even remember. It turned out to be like 4.5.
Right. But anyway, so it's a 2 hour long play, you know, investigation, and we went to four different locations. Well, the first three were, you know, just, they were nothing special. I mean, the unrentable apartment above the karaoke bar. Yeah, that's why it was unrentable. It's not because the damn place is haunted. Well, the last location we went to, and before I tell you where, I mean, you kind of guessing where it is. You know, it is a public park. There's no trespassing signs. It's not actually on the grounds of the lighthouse in Florida. It's the park across the street. So, you know, we don't want everybody and their brother to just flood down there in hopes to get some kind of activity, you know, this kind of stuff that we got. You know, we're telling people where it is, but because it is a public park, there are no restrictions. I mean, ghost tours go through there all the time. So, but, you know, please don't just run down there and flood the place. but anyway, so we went down there. The last stop, we actually set up our equipment on one of the park benches. And within, what did you say, five minutes, we started getting
within 5 minutes, we started getting different hits with our equipment, and we knew we had something there. The interesting part was that the tour guide along the way gave us a real quick description of an event that had happened there. his description was really short, as it was that the foreman for the building of the lighthouse was Hezekiah, worked on the lighthouse, and during that time had some daughters who were killed in an accident on the grounds. And his description wasn't really much more than that, as he was telling us as we got there. So the activity that we got the first night, we actually just asked some questions around that specific event and the information, the limited information that we had, and the activity started. But what was even more interesting was we started finding out more about Hezekiah and the incident and where he was from originally and what age he was when he started working on the lighthouse, and other things that we had no prior knowledge over, nor did the tour guide tell us. And I think it was really a shocker for even those that were on the ghost tour with us that started Googling on the bus ride back to the hotel that they were able to see and corroborate the information we got during our quick, I'd say we were there 20 minutes, 30 minutes, something like that during that.
Yeah,
evening.
Something like that.
It was a mind blown, so to speak.
Well, what happened? Wow, that was dead air. Dead air. What happened? You know, we, like I said, you guys did the first night. And what you guys have to understand, people that are listening, is that these guys were both videoing. It's audio and video of what they were doing. What I am interested in, and like I said, the stuff that shocked the shit out of me, and I got to tell you, it was the thermal of anything. The thermal was the one that really shook me, because I understand how the thermal works. And I understand when you're looking at something that is bullshit or something that could even be a trace signature. I mean, people don't understand. FLIR's, thermal cameras, they are super duper sensitive sometimes. Firefighters will tell you that. That, and they can give you false reads. I mean, you got to be uber careful when you're using them. But what I saw on that image there, yep, nope. And especially because it happened over and over and over again. I was just sitting there going, oh, my God, WTF, really? What is going on? What? Oh, my God, I've never seen anything like that.
So where that came from was actually that was the second night. So after the ghost tour and the activity that we got for that limited amount of time, Jason and I decided that the next night we wanted to go back to the park and see if the activity continued. And that's exactly what we did. We went back. So the video that we have of the thermal actually came from our second night of just seeing what we could get. And Nancy, if you're okay, I'm gonna tell folks where they can find this video. It's actually been posted on our Facebook page, which is, of course, facebook.com/Carolina Paranormal. And it's pinned at the top of our Facebook page. It's a thermal video. It's about 13 minutes long. And, you know, I invite anyone to go and take a look for themselves and see exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, it is 13 minutes, folks. So we're actually, you know, we're 15 minutes off into the show. But here's the thing. If you're skeptical, I dare you to go take a look at that video. I absolutely 100% dare your ass to go click on that video and explain to me what the hell it is you're seeing. I mean, and Jay and Matt, you explain to me, what the hell are we looking at on that video? Because I know what I saw, and but I also know what I'm looking for. I mean, I wasn't looking for anything when I started watching. I was do-do-do-do-do, what the fuck was that? Really? Did I just really see that? And I think I actually texted you, Porter, to spell it out. What the F is that? You know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. The thing of it is, you know, when you go to our Facebook page and you pull up the video, you'll see what it is, a stone bench in the middle of the screen. And on that stone bench, you can actually see a little tiny dot on top of the bench, and that is actually the LED light of the millimeter. And on either side of that LED light, on the right side is the K2, and on the left side is the millimeter. And on the left side of the millimeter is the temp pod. So there's four pieces of equipment sitting on that bench. And you will see something behind the bench. I'm not going to tell anybody else what it is, but you will see, and it'll be very clear. It's moving, and it is behind the bench. And, you know, go take a look at the video. We started investigating about 9:30 on Tuesday night, and it lasted for, we did an investigation for about 5 hours, and we didn't do much investigating besides standing there and having a conversation, full-blown conversation with Hezekiah, the actual builder, the contractor who built the lighthouse. And, you know, if you can tell me a valid explanation of why that is behind the bench and is moving in conjunction
with...
In conjunction to the answers that it's giving, if you can explain to me what that is. And you'll even see at one point, I walk into the frame, the camera readjusts its focus point on me, and you can still see what it is standing behind the bench. And then I walk out and it refocuses and it's still there. And the kicker on this is there is only 13 minutes of video of that being there. The rest of the time that is not there. So it's, you know, if it was a bush or if it was a break in the leaves of the trees in the distance, it would stay there.
In fact, I'm getting questions from the chat. People want clarity on where it is on the Facebook page.
It's in a public Facebook group, not on the group. It's on the page. It's on the fan page. It's on Carolina Paranormal.
Yeah, it's on our fan page. So if you navigate to facebook.com/Carolina Paranormal, it is pinned at the very top of the news feed of that page. So it should be visible if you navigate there.
Well, you know what? Not to take away from the thermal, but I do want to kind of get into some of the Q&A that you had with Hezekiah, because we've only got a few minutes left. Yeah, go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
I want to make a couple comments about the thermal, because, you know, Jason and I have had this now for several weeks and shown it to a handful of folks who helped work with us to debunk what we're seeing on the thermal. I can guarantee, like Jason said, it's not a bush, it's not grass, it's not part of the tree. You do see the tree branch above. You know, it's nothing behind the bench. And to corroborate that, we also have infrared video that we took during the same time frame. Plus, he and I were both physically there. So you can hear during the video that we actually noticed this and started trying to debunk it ourselves, what was there, because we could see with our own eyes that there was nothing there we could see, but it sure as shit showed up on the thermal. So...
Right, and it's not IR reflection, it's not any of that, because at one point during this video, you can hear the IR camera shut down, because it makes a distinct sound, and the camera actually shuts down, and so it means the IR is off, but yet it's still there.
Yep, I mean, that's the other thing. When you're looking at it, and it's not even the difference between a trained and an untrained eye, although somewhat it is. I told you right away, I knew that was not a tree. Because it didn't make sense. It wouldn't have disappeared after 13 minutes.
Well, and it doesn't go all the way to the ground either.
Well, that, and there's no glitch. Because that's one of the things people always say is, you know, well, it's edited. It's an edited video. Well, let me tell you something. It's really flipping hard to edit out, especially thermal or IR. Very hard to edit without leaving a large glitch in the edit frame. And that's noticeable to a trained eye. You can tell when something's been edited. this was not touched. And I like it, it literally, it caused me to pretty much choke just watching it. But I know on top of that, like I said, I got to segue this because we're down to like, I think we have about 7 or 8 minutes left. I really want to have the conversation about what Hezekiah told you about time, about things being relative to him, about whether or not he had knowledge, about what his greatest regrets were, what you guys really kind of were able to touch the base of, you know, some of the questions we all ask. You know, I was going to say, what is life? Let me be a psychology teacher here for a second. What is life? That's kind of where you guys went. And some of his answers, I was laughing because it's shit I've been saying for years, but it was, I think it would rock some people to know what he had to say. So I'm going to let you guys go ahead and explain that.
Some of the questions that we've asked, we've actually asked in several different locations. They started at the Carolina Theater when we were back there, the three questions that we would ask. And we actually didn't start those questions. We had always vowed we weren't going to ask those questions. The guy who was running the theater actually asked. It started with, is there heaven, is there angels, and is there a God? And at the Carolina Theater, we got the answer of no to each one of those questions. We then asked it at Gold Hill. It got the same response. We asked it at Matthews Community Center and got the same response. We even asked it to Hezekiah at St. Augustine and got the same response. But over the times that we've investigated, we started asking more and more questions in regards to what happens after you die. Some of the questions that we asked Hezekiah were, you know, can you choose what age you want to stay at? And he said yes. And he chooses to stay at 46 years old because that was the best time of his life. Even though he died at, I think he died in, 1910 or somewhere right around there. So, you know, he chooses to stay at 46. Not only because it was the best time, but it was also the worst time because he lost two of his daughters in an accident. And we actually made a promise to him that we would tell this to whoever would listen, that he is still there because he feels guilty that his daughters died in the accident. And what happened is they got into a market cart or a cart that was used to bring material from the water's edge to the lighthouse, and they would get in it and they let the brakes go and then they would ride it down to the water. Well, I don't know if the brakes failed or something happened, and basically they got thrown into the water and drowned along with one of the little girls that was a friend of theirs. So he feels that he was a bad parent because he feels guilty for their death, and that's why he's still there. Because we actually asked, are they still there? And he said, yes. And they were down by the water at the time. We've asked, Matt, what are some of the other questions we asked? I mean, we asked, can he see us? And he said, yes, he can see us. We appear as shadows to him. We went into reincarnation, if there's such a thing as reincarnation. He said, yes, you can choose what sex you come back as, but there is no other choice to be made.
Time. You asked him about time. If time was relative to him, in other words, could he be at any time he wanted to? And
yes. Yeah, he said that he can try basically time travel. He can go backwards and forwards. It's just absolutely amazing the stuff that we found out.
One of the other things too, did you guys ask him about alien life? I think you did.
Yeah, we've asked that question several times. There are aliens. They've been here. They look like us, and they even live amongst us, according to him.
I think you also asked him if he believed who was in the office of president right now. That was kind of a comical answer.
Yeah, we asked if he knew who the current president was in our time, and he didn't. And we asked if he would be surprised if there was a black man in the office, and he lit it up like, holy shit, are you kidding me? You know, and I mean, we asked him if he knew who, because he lived during the time when Abraham Lincoln was alive, and we asked him, do you know who Abraham Lincoln was? And he knew who that was. We asked other presidents afterwards, and he didn't know, you know, after his death, and he didn't know who they were. So, I mean, there was a lot of things that we asked him, and I mean, there's a lot of questions that we got answers to that would just blow your mind.
Yeah, I know, like I said, it blew mine, and that's, you guys know that. That's the only other time I think I've ever, you know, like with Porter, and it always tickles me when shit like this happens to Porter because he's such a damn skeptic. But the only other time I really had a good laugh on you, Porter, was at, you know, the Biltmore when fire alarms went off after you decided to be an asshole and tempt right. What was in that building. And, you know, basically say, oh, it's not effing haunted. Oh, it's bullshit. Yeah, well, right. Guess what, guys? In a room, a 292-room building, the only fucking fire alarm that went off in the whole damn building
was in my room, was above where room. I was sleeping.
And it wouldn't shut off. And we were in an 8-room suite at that time. So there's other people in this suite. Like, we're packed. And just Jason's room. That was it.
So, you know, I think one of the other things that really blew my mind, I think, and I think Matt would agree with me, was the fact that we asked the question if Matt and I have been branded on the other side as okay to talk to. And he said yes.
Oh, so basically, you're the cool club. Okay.
Matt and I have been branded as, and that would explain why we're suddenly getting this activity in a lot of locations. Not everywhere, but in a lot of locations, because Matt has Chris, the 10-year-old from the Carolina Theater, following him. I have Mr. E from Gold Hill following me. And whenever Matt and I investigate together, we were told by Hezekiah that we asked him if there were other ghosts waiting there to talk to us. And he said, yes. We found out when we actually talked to Chris, Mr. E, and Jerry from the Matthews Community Center, although she was only there for a minute or two because her father and her uncle came and got her and dragged her back to Matthews. And there's a whole backstory behind that, which we could talk about later. But the fact that he actually said, you know, we asked, are there, you know, more than 10? He said, yes. Are there more than 20? Are there more than 50? Are there more than 100? Are there too many to count? And he said yes to all those.
Yep. So, which makes sense.
There were people lining, there were ghosts lining up to have conversations with us.
All right, guys, I hate to cut you off, Jason, but it's 8:58, man. I gotta get off the air because Rocky's gotta pop his show on the IR after me. I want you to quickly tell everybody where you can be found, besides the fan page on Facebook. You guys got a website, I know that. Tell people where they can hit you up.
There's two places that you can find us online. CarolinaParanormal.com, of course, is our website. We also have, it's not a paranormal unity site, but it is a collaboration site called ParanormalTeams.com. It is also something that Jason and I own, and it's a great collaboration site for other paranormal teams.
You know what? And before I check out here, guys, you can find me at www.TheVixensVault.com or www.WakenVixen.com because I own both. On Facebook, I am www.Facebook.com/Nancy.Planeta. I am the only Planeta on Facebook, Planeta. Go ahead and go there and give me a shout out. Also, I want to thank whoever the ass dialer is that is on the line with me right now. It's either you, Jason, or you, Matt. One of you two is ass dialing. I don't know which one it is.
But it would be Matt.
Awesome, man. Awesome.
No, I've been muted most of the time.
I was gonna say, all right, so
no, it's only when you're talking to me that it happens.
Yeah, now they're gonna have a bitch fight. There you go. See, they're married. That's what happens. That's what happens when you investigate with people for too long. All right, folks. With that, I am out of here. Have a great evening. Join us again next week for the Vix's Vault. I will be announcing my guest during the week on Facebook, so check it out. With that, I love y'all. Have a great evening. Bye.